Welcome to your Sunday Reader. Today we'll be discussing the readings for the fourth Sunday of Advent, 2008. A reading from the second book of Samuel. When King David was settled in his palace, and the Lord had given him rest from his enemies on every side, he said to Nathan the prophet, "Here I am living in a house of cedar, while the ark of God dwells in a tent." Nathan answered the king, "Go, do whatever you have in mind, for the Lord is with you." But that night the Lord spoke to Nathan and said, "Go, tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, should you build me a house to dwell in? It was I who took you from the pasture and from the care of the flock to be commander of my people Israel. I have been with you wherever you went, and I have destroyed all your enemies before you. And I will make you famous like the great ones of earth. I will fix a place for my people Israel. I will plant them, so that they may dwell in their place without further disturbance. Neither shall the wicked continue to afflict them as they did of old, since the time I first appointed the judges over my people Israel. I will give you rest from all your enemies. The Lord also reveals to you that he will establish a house for you. And when your time comes and you rest with your ancestors, I will raise up your heir after you, sprung from your loins, and I will make his kingdom firm. I will be a father to him, and he shall be a son to me. Your house and your kingdom shall endure forever before me. Your throne shall stand firm forever." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Forever I will sing the goodness of the Lord.
Forever I will sing the goodness of the Lord.
The promises of the Lord I will sing forever. Through all generations my mouth shall proclaim your faithfulness, for you have said, "My kindness is established forever." In heaven you have confirmed your faithfulness.
Forever I will sing the goodness of the Lord.
I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to David my servant, "Forever will I confirm your posterity and establish your throne for all generations."
Forever I will sing the goodness of the Lord.
He shall say of me, "You are my Father, my God, the rock, my Savior." Forever I will maintain my kindness toward him, and my covenant with him stands firm.
Forever I will sing the goodness of the Lord. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, to him who can strengthen you, according to my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret for long ages, but now manifested through the prophetic writings and, according to the command of the eternal God, made known to all nations to bring about the obedience of faith to the only wise God, through Jesus Christ, be glory forever and ever. Amen. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. The angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming to her, he said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at what was said, and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of David, his father, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." But Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I have no relations with a man?" And the angel said to her in reply, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month for her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible for God." Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Hello and welcome to your Sunday Reader. I'm Brian and I'm here today with Dawn.
Hello everyone.
And Josh is not with us today, it's just the two of us. Aww. It was fun having him on last week though. I enjoy having Josh, giving us someone with a southern drawl and everything.
I could pretend, but I don't do a very good job at imitating.
Yeah, I can't do it either. It's not one of my gifts, if you will.
Oh, well. But then we know you're authentic, Brian.
That's right. Dawn, can you believe that we are at week 4 of Advent? It's staring us in the face already.
No, how can that be? That is unbelievable.
That's what I said. I said time has just been flying by this Advent. And I really haven't done any of my shopping for Christmas. I've been rushing to get Christmas cards out. It's been, it's just been all going way too fast.
Yes. And I'm sure you must be sending a Christmas card to every one of our listeners, I'm sure.
Everyone. All of them have, it's an audio Christmas card, and this is it right here. Merry Christmas.
That was very clever, I must say.
See. Anyway, we should probably move on to these scripture readings that we have. And it's becoming very apparent in the scripture that the birth of Christ is imminent. As we see in the gospel reading, we've got the Annunciation here of it being announced to Mary that she will bear a son by the power of the Holy Spirit, and that she's found favor with God. One of the things, though, Dawn, that hit me when I looked at this was the line, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." And for many listeners out there, they might recognize that as the beginning of the Hail Mary prayer. And it's one of the things that I've often heard criticized, or even people just asking, is where does this Hail Mary, where does this prayer come from? And we all know that the Our Father comes from Scripture because it's the prayer that Jesus gives us. But this Hail Mary prayer is also scriptural. So a lot of times Catholics get accused of worshiping Mary, which we don't. We honor her, but we don't worship her. She's not God. But also of it being non-scriptural. But we see right here in the gospel, this "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." And then there are other lines from that prayer that appear elsewhere throughout the gospel. But I think that that's kind of a way that we greet Mary, is recognizing that she is full of grace here, just as the angel recognized that when she came. And she's full of grace both because she's born without original sin and for many reasons, and because also she has God in her womb. So it's there's all kinds of dynamics to that line that I think can be great for prayer, but also they point to why we look to Mary with such high esteem and everything.
You know, I guess I've never really thought about it until you just said now about full of grace. And we've been working with the teenagers in our group talking about grace more, and it's such a hard concept to describe. I mean, it's a simple word, but when you go to teach about it, it's really hard. But
and it's even worse when you have to make distinctions in types of graces, which I'm studying for this STL exam, and it's a nightmare. But go ahead.
Oh, I don't even want to think about it. But just how the angel recognized Mary was full of grace. And what if we walked around and recognized the grace that is within each of us, but also within other people? How that would be different. If I recognize the grace that God offers me ongoing, that could change how I live and how I work and everything.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think you're right. And the other thing, too, is it's kind of interesting, just going on that topic, that's how what the angel does is recognizes the grace. And I think that's what we're called to do, is to recognize the grace within the world. Last week we talked a little bit, I mentioned that book Clowning in Rome, and it was talking about seeing God in the world around us as a way of praying constantly. And I think that part of that is recognizing that the entire created order, everything we see, is grace in some way. And can we see it as grace? And that's not to deny that there's evil in our world or anything, but all of creation is ultimately a gift of God's grace, everything we have.
One of the things I like from the gospel reading today reminds me of the Eastern Church calls Mary the Theotokos, with the God-bearer.
Yes.
That's what the literal translation, and there's a book, it's cleverly called The God-Bearing Life, but in there they talk about how Mary is the God-bearer in this sense, but how we are all called to be God-bearers to one another, and that we bring forth, we make the Word made flesh in other ways, we help people recognize it, and I just love that concept of being a Theotokos. I don't know what the plural of that would be, but Theotokai, I don't know. But I love that image, and I often try and remember it, but I don't often also.
Yeah, it's. But I think you're right on there that definitely what we learn from the incarnation is, you know, God came into our world, and we talked about the word incarnation last time on the last, I think it was the last podcast, we talked about God taking on the flesh and coming into the world. And, you know, Mary being the vessel, the Theotokos, as you mentioned, the God-bearer. But I think that part of what we can learn, as you said, from Mary's example, and again, part of the reason we esteem her is she's the perfect example of bearing God, because she quite literally, you know, gave birth to God. But if we take her as our example, and then we too have to find a way to make God incarnate in our world, or to make God known. And we've all been given the gift of the Holy Spirit, and through the church and through our baptism into the church, and we become part of this one body of Christ. And so I think that's our continuing mission, is how do we become God-bearers? And I think you're right that this whole story can really be a real challenge to us too, is can we be God-bearers such that when we go to visit people such as Elizabeth, as we hear in this story, that they will recognize that we're bringing God to them. Because that's what Elizabeth will end up doing. We'll hear it later on, I believe. Actually, I don't know if we do hear the visitation story or not in this cycle. But when Mary does appear to Elizabeth, who also is who's her cousin, who's with child as well, with John the Baptist, she recognizes Mary, and she says, "Blessed are you amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." So she's able to recognize not only that while Mary's pregnant, that she is bearing God. And so the question becomes, can we bear God in such a way that when we go out to other people, that they can look at us and recognize that we're bearing God? And that's challenging to do.
You know, from the first reading, we have David and Nathan. Nathan calls or tells David what God wants him to do. So anyhow, my point here in Mary's story, in our gospel reading, we have an angel announcing, and that was, you know, an unbelievable message, and it had to be from God. But in David's story, it's Nathan. It's somebody that he knows well. And I guess I got to thinking about how we often don't recognize God as talking to us through people we know. We expect God to be talking to us, you know, in thunderclaps and angels coming down, but that doesn't normally happen too often. But he does speak to us.
You don't have angels every night stopping
well,
by
maybe
your room?
Well, I'm sleeping Dawn, during.
This is what you need to do on the retreat this weekend.
You know, that would be a lot easier. but to listen to what other people are saying to us and recognize that they are bearing God to us, and that God speaks to us through many different ways.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's an important part of our tradition. And you know, one of the ways that we always should be listening for God's voice is in the church, you know, both from what we hear from Scripture, because I think that gives us the point for jumping off, but in the prayer life that we have at church, I think that can also help us discern, because a lot of times people will ask the counter question to what you're saying is, well, how do I know whose voice is the voice of God? And ultimately there, I think we, you know, trust the Holy Spirit in the church and everything, so that's how we can discriminate some of that authentic from the inauthentic voices, because we do have so many voices that bombard us in our society. And then ultimately, you know, I think what we have to do is you have to have a strong prayer life so that you can discern that those voices and say, you know, who is speaking to me here in the voice of God? And you're right, a lot of times it is people. And when I say that it's in the church, it doesn't mean that every time God speaks, he's going to speak through, you know, Father Mull or for through you or through me or through somebody who's at church. It could be very well through, you know, somebody we meet on the streets or somebody at our work or something. But I mean, one of the ways we can tell if it's an authentic message is if it's consistent with, you know, what we hear at the church. You know, obviously, if somebody is telling us something real inconsistent, you know, like a warmonger saying, you know, we need to get revenge on these people, we say, well, gee, that's not really consistent with what I'm hearing at the church. Maybe that's not the voice of God. But other times, I think people can challenge us and point out our flaws and challenge us a lot of times in ways that we don't want to be challenged. And that's usually a good sign that it probably is authentic. If it's something that you don't want to look at or face or deal with, it probably is the voice of God, because that's generally the response that God gets in the Gospels or in the Bible, is people who say, I don't want to look at that. I don't want to do that. You know, you got the wrong person here. You know, what do you know?
That's the story of my life, I think.
Right. But then ultimately, again, going back to our example here of Mary, you know, what the response that we need to have is one of that trusting faith that where we can say, behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done according to your word. I think that that's a real powerful example. And it's something I think that a lot of times we throw out as kind of this fluffy thing and we don't actually really reflect on and do, but how often are we actually trying to do what God is asking us to do? Do we sit here and say, gee, you know, I don't understand this. This doesn't make any sense to me, which is kind of what Mary says here. You know, how is this to happen? But she says, let it be done according to your word. And I think that's a very powerful statement and something that, you know, all of us need to reflect on. And obviously we all need to grow in that too, that becoming the handmaid of the Lord and allowing God's will to take over versus our own will.
Right.
But anyway, Dawn, I believe we are coming towards the end of our podcast. So, my goodness, next time we'll be after Christmas. So we hope everybody has a wonderful last week of Advent and a very Merry Christmas. And we will be back next week to podcast, and hopefully you'll be back to listen on your Sunday Reader. Have a good week. God bless.